treatment plant. Those include waste discharge requirements and a CDO, cease and desist order. And I'll open it to you, Mr. Giusti.
Thank you, Mr. Norin. Now I'm going to say it all.
Watch it. It's easier just to say vice chair.
I know. Yeah. I wanted to pull this off the consent agenda to have the board. I wanted to hear the board's comments on some of the time elements related to these two items. You know, I appreciate the fact that a lot of work has gone into this. I appreciate the fact that our briefing here shows that what once was held to be true, that the ebbing tides of Humboldt Bay would flush the effluent out of the bay. It turns out that the complete opposite is happening, where rather than 90% of the treated effluent is leaving the bay with the ebbing tide, Humboldt Bay is holding perhaps as much as 90% of the effluent. And obviously, as people on this board know, there are two high tides and two low tides during a day, one higher than high, one lower than low. So, you know, taking advantage of the natural flushing of the bay is a great idea, but this report recognizes that it's not working as perceived. We have serious aquaculture infrastructure in the bay, which could be affected by this new recognition of what's actually happening. Humboldt Bay is an incredibly important fishery for a number of species, and I think that things are moving in the right direction. What concerns me most is a time frame of 14 years to rectify what is now a recognized problem. I find that time schedule simply unacceptable now that we know there's a problem. And so I'd like to hear the other board members' thoughts on this. And I recognize that maybe the folks from Humboldt County or Eureka are not here today. I'm not saying we have to take action today. I'd be willing to consider an option, but I'd like to hear what the other board members think about this time frame specifically.
Okay, fair enough. Other board members, so the request is then to open dialogue between the board members at this point in time. Is there a suggestion here or a comment?
Just a comment that staff are prepared to answer any questions and also provide some additional details about the various tasks and milestones that are included in the cease and desist order, as well as some additional details that isn't reflected in the CDO but are still requirements on the City of Eureka. And it may be helpful for staff to project that on the board and go through that before you board members make comments. It's totally your pleasure, but we're prepared to provide that additional
information. How about we do this? It's to us right now. Let's just take it from here.
That's fine.
And then I would like to hear from staff and just get our concerns out. I see Lisa's here and Mona's here, and we can take that up. So, Mr. Hale, did you want to start?
No, I was just going to echo what Mr. St. John said, is that I'd like to hear from staff on this. We've over, you know, my tenure on this board have had a number of these, and a lot of the reasoning behind the schedules, and just like you had said, Matt, there's things that are nested in here that go with those schedules, and I found them to be reasonable in the past. And quite frankly, because it was on consent, I really didn't question that, just because that's what history has said. In full respect to Mr. Giusti's concerns, I'd like to hear what staff have to say about that and be able to speak to that concern before we take it any farther.
Okay. I acknowledge that. Can we then have staff and I think you've heard Board Member Giusti's concern. And my understanding, it's going to go up on the screen as well.
Yes. Yes, indeed, board members. Thank you very much. My name is Mona Doherty. I'm the senior engineer with our NPDES wastewater program. And we're going to go through some of the tasks with you and show the timeline and the reason behind the timeline. But before we do that, I just want to mention a couple of things. Lisa and I and some other members of our staff have worked really closely with Eureka over the last year. So the first meeting we started with them, they were, you know, absolutely adamant that their plant was still good, everything was still good. It took us a while, you know, through a process to, you know, identify the issues with them, get them to see that the issues needed to be addressed over time and work with them on the tasks and the timeline. The fact that it's uncontested is pretty amazing up to now, but I guess it's not uncontested right now, but we just want you to know that we have spent a lot of time considering both the impacts to Humboldt Bay. And one of the main reasons that we are addressing this so holistically in this permit and cease and desist order is because Lisa really identified that we had been permitting this facility for too long under the previous regime, and we needed to address some of these issues. So she was really very, very forward-thinking about that, and that got us all on board to really tackle the whole problem. And I think we've done a really good job. I'm really proud of the work. Again, we worked a lot with Eureka. We're going to go over the task with you specifically. But another point I want to make is that previously with the premise, and it was based on some early studies that that the majority of, if not all of the effluent left the bay with the outgoing tide, and it was an ocean discharger, they had a 30-to-1 dilution credit for all of their effluent limitations. So the fact that in this permit we are regulating it as an inland inland enclosed bay discharger, that means that that 30-to-1 credit for dilution goes away. So their effluent limits in this permit that you're going to consider today are much, much lower than the effluent limits in the previous permit, and will really require them to take the take the interim steps that we're going to lay out for you, but also to make sure that they're operating the plant as well as they can, doing everything that they can to meet the effluent limits, because they're quite a bit more stringent, you know, and they're about an order of magnitude more stringent than the previous permit. So we think the fact that we have these much more stringent effluent limits, as well as a quite robust list of tasks, really do justify giving them time. We're basically asking them to rethink their approach to their plant and their discharge in a really complex way. And so we're going to go over that with you in a little bit more detail, but I really want you to consider that that this permit is quite a bit more stringent than the existing one that they are discharging under.
So my name is Lisa Bernard. I'm staff to the Regional Water Board, previously in the MPDS permitting unit and currently in the basin planning unit. So I'm going to go over just a couple brief description of all of the tasks that the City of Eureka has before them. These tasks are presented or proposed in the proposed MPDS permit renewal, as well as the accompanying monitoring and reporting program and the cease and desist order. So in order for staff to and the City of Eureka to kind of see the full picture, I put this together and just in an effort to see where the overlaps were, if we were asking for things in the correct order and that kind of thing. First and foremost, this permit is going into effect on August 1st of 2016 if it was adopted today. So just the schedule is predicated on that. So they have to revise their TRE work plan. That's their toxicity reduction evaluation work plan. So they need to, they have one already, but they need to take a look at that and make sure that it's up to date with all of the current regulations and thinking and any experience they've had with toxicity in the past, which I don't believe they've had because they've had a 30-to-1 dilution credit applied to their toxicity testing in the past, which they will no longer have in this under this proposed permit. Then they'll have to conduct a sanitary sewer evaluation survey. I believe that the city has quite a bit of that work already done, but it hasn't been packaged in a manner that is meaningful to the Regional Water Board, so they will need to submit that by November of 2016. We haven't had any information about their existing outfall in the middle of Humboldt Bay for nothing that's been submitted directly to the Regional Water Board since it was installed, I believe. So we have them doing a work plan to inspect that outfall by December. They need to come up with a wet weather improvement plan by March 1st of 2017. That sounds kind of like a small task, but it includes the results from the sanitary sewer survey and an evaluation of everything at the treatment plant where their bypasses are occurring past the secondary treatment components and a number of other things. So it's their full plan that they're going to need to be implementing in order to eliminate the bypass altogether. So it's not really a small task as it.
And Lisa, can I just jump in for 1 minute on that? So that plan is really integral to one of the major concerns we have with Eureka's current operation, which is that in wet weather, I'm sure you guys can see through your permit package, in wet weather, they do bypass secondary treatment. So I just want to make the point that all the effluent gets primary treatment. A majority gets, or a good portion gets secondary treatment, but in high flow events, some does discharge, does bypass secondary treatment. And then the flows are recombined and chlorinated and dechlorinated to make sure that the any type of pathogen issues are resolved. And this really did concern Lisa and I, and it was a big point that we wanted to address in this permit. And these are going to be a lot of tasks for the Eureka to be able to eliminate that bypass, but it is a very high priority to staff.
So they'll be implementing that over time. I do want to note that when looking at their bypasses, that I think they've bypassed maybe five times in the last couple years. We haven't had a lot of rainfall, so that is a benefit. But it's unclear to us at this time exactly how often they bypass because they don't have an accurate way of measuring it. So that would also come in as part of the wet weather improvement plan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa, to interrupt again. One other point I wanted to make about the bypasses is that while a portion of their effluent under high flow events does not receive full secondary treatment, when they recombine the flows, they do meet the secondary treatment effluent limits. So while that doesn't give us resolve the issue that we need to address this, it does, with the chlorination and dechlorination, give us the comfort that it is meeting pretty standard type of discharges, effluent limitations for this type of discharge.
Thank you. That's a great point. Which was one of the reasons Eureka said, why do we have to change anything? So then I'm going to try and move a little more quickly. They're going to implement the wet weather improvement plan beginning July 1st of 2017, but that plan has to be approved by the executive officer. So there, it includes a schedule and whatever tasks the city comes up with that they feel are necessary to eliminate bypass altogether. And it's also really important for the overall design of any upgrades to the treatment facility that they have their wet weather peak flows under control to the extent possible, because when they're designing for their new treatment, they'll need to incorporate whatever flows are coming into the treatment facility. So their wet weather improvement plan also incorporates improvements to the collection system and maybe even an ordinance to for private lateral connections and things like that. At least we're hoping for that. So they'll have to report back on the outfall inspection. They need to do a local limit study to improve, to evaluate what's coming into the system, whether the local limits for commercial activities are appropriate and protective, or that they could be reduced maybe to as a source control measure. Then we'll have some wet weather improvement plan annual reports due every July throughout the compliance period. They need to do a biological survey to evaluate the health of the system around the discharge point in Humboldt Bay. So we'll need a work plan for that. We would like them to give us a report on an updated sewer ordinance evaluation to determine if their sewer ordinances are appropriate at this time or if they need to be upgraded. A report back on the biological survey from Humboldt Bay, an updated sewer use ordinance, which of course they have to pass by their council and get adopted. We are asking for a climate change readiness study. We would like the city to take a look at their entire system in a holistic way. Humboldt Bay is projected to have some significant impacts from climate change, up to 6 feet change in the height of the bay around there. So, and the wastewater treatment facility is adjacent to the bay. So we want them to take a look at that and what that means and how they can incorporate climate change into their overall preferred alternative for the upgrades at their treatment facility that are necessary. Then,
Interrupt. Is this level of detail helpful? You want us to continue at this going line by line?
Okay. I think you could summarize. Summarize, and if you could, just by line, Elisa, your detail's great. Maybe just summarize these and give us timelines.
All right. So in 2020, we need a feasibility plan for compliance with the enclosed basin estuaries policy. That's probably the biggest task before them to evaluate how they can comply. That requires an enhancement to Humboldt Bay if the board were going to approve continued discharge to the bay. And so how that enhancement is achieved is unknown at this time. Preliminary design plans for the preferred alternative, compliance with CEQA, final design. We're going year by year now, a preliminary design in 2022, next year compliance with CEQA, the following year a final design once CEQA has been adopted through the city, obtaining all necessary permits. That includes, you know, Coastal Commission and Department of Fish and Wildlife, permits from our agency, development permits, any permits that they need would need to be completed by 2026. So a two-year time frame, given what I know about our process, it seems kind of aggressive, but hopefully they'll be able to do that. And then there's some other tasks in here that are, if required by the executive officer, pollution minimization, that program, ongoing reporting on that, adequate capacity, more detailed TRE work plan if they have a failure on toxicity, and then final compliance 2 years after the necessary permits and for the wet weather bypass, and 4 years after that for the complete construction of a new, basically probably a new facility or an expanded facility of some kind. So it is, I recognize, quite a bit of time, but we feel that they've had quite a bit asked of them. I think the city was going down a path of looking at their collection system and various other things, but given their relative compliance with the existing permit, I know that when we started bringing up these issues with them almost exactly a year ago, that it was new information to them. They thought that they were moving along in compliance. Perhaps the handwriting should have been on the wall with the special studies, but and the results of those. I think they've come a long way in
their willingness to tackle these issues,
right,
and work with us on them.
Mr. Giusti.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for this. I mean, it's incredibly detailed, as is the briefing report that you gave us, and I know that you've worked diligently on this. My main concern is, an analogy, when we were in school, the professor the first day of class told us about a project that's due the last day of class. What did 90% of us do? Wait until the night before and pull an all-nighter. This schedule doesn't project an air of urgency. It's like, hey, you got lots of time. You could start it here. You know, I want all of this done in 5 years. I want it done in 5 years. I know that's not realistic, but I think 14 years is also unfair to the citizenry of Humboldt County. So, yeah, we're asking a lot of the city, but they're asking a lot of everyone else to say, well, we know there's a problem. We're going to take our time fixing it. It needs to be fixed. So it's that sense of urgency. And I'd like to I'd consider another number, recognizing that some of these things simply take time. There's a number of tasks that do require time. But this is such a laissez-faire approach, I'd like to turn the heat up a little bit and make sure that they're starting and driving to the finish line. So, you know, I'd be very comfortable with 8 years. It may not get done. We have to review the MPDS permit in 5 years, but certainly at that five-year point, there needs to be an extensive checklist of what's been completed and how things are moving forward. So that's really where I'm coming from. I'd like to turn up the heat and project an air of urgency, because now we've recognized there's a problem. Honestly, I believe that they thought everything was okay, but things are not okay, and I don't want to continue that attitude. I want to make people take this seriously and jump on it. That's where I'm coming from. I mean, as far as what has to be done, how it's going to be done, I have no problem with that. Just want to get it done.
Noted. And we agree.
And the one thing that's not here really is a cost issue and acquisition of funding, right? I assume that this, granted, I think, you know, Steve, you brought up the fact infrastructure like this is aging and it needs requirement to upgrade. This sounds like the new car smells off the car, and that this has been for a while, and this seems to me to be a pretty hard correction at the same time. This is a pretty steep curve for a plant that I believe, if I just read it right, 8.6 million gallons on dry and 12 million on a wet. So that's a fairly sizable plant. That's a fairly sizable amount of infrastructure, collection, system, and work to do. Can you give a sense of scale of overall magnitude, cost, acquisition of cost? Because that's the one thing I don't really see here. Mm-hmm. It's all, by the way, I want everything now too. I just don't know how that is, if that is either possible or realistic.
They have 125 miles of collection system.
Yes.
Plus multiple lift stations and various other pieces of equipment associated with their collection system. So that could, you know, I mean, I think it could be, you know, to fix a mile of main, maybe depending on the location and all the things that they have to go through, it could be, you know, several hundred thousand dollars just to fix 1 mile. So, That's one thing to take into consideration as far as them managing their existing flow. The city of Eureka, I looked up their median household income from 2014. I believe it's about $35,000.
Can I ask you a question too, Lisa? Because this has been an ocean outfall type of regulatory program here with number and effluent numbers that have been based on a 31 dilution factor.
Right.
Putting this into the category of an inland bay, and having an inland bay effluent requirement here, the CDO is part of this. The CDO, the cease and desist order, gives an abeyance and cover for mandatory minimum penalties for breaking effluent limitations, I believe.
Actually, no.
No?
Actually, our analysis shows, and we went over this with Eureka because they requested mixing zones and that kind of thing. Our analysis shows that they will substantively be in compliance with the new lower effluent limits, especially as they start doing the various interim tasks, which are designed that over time are going to start building in improvements every year as we go.
Okay, so let me rephrase it. Putting this into the effluent requirements for an inland bay discharge, are you telling me then that this site would be under its current and existing condition would largely meet the effluent requirements for inland bay discharge?
Yes.
Yes.
And the key factor that it does not meet is that it does not meet the enhancement criteria. So the 1974 Basin Estuaries statewide policy requires that or prohibits municipal waste discharges to inland bays, enclosed bays, unless an enhancement can be shown. So
an enhancement that is there that would not exist without the discharge. So, and if you remember, that's the scenario that we've permitted the Arcata discharge
right.
under.
That's right. But what I hear is what you say is we don't have a plant that's going to be wildly out of control with effluent requirements because the effluent requirements just got lowered dramatically because of an inland bay discharge.
An entire order of magnitude lower.
Right.
And except for secondary treatment standards, which they've been able to meet even in a bypass condition the majority of the time.
And again, to be clear, that they would largely be in compliance with inland bay discharge effluent requirements here.
Yes. And in addition, through the study, one of the things that was shown is that if they change their discharge regime slightly so that they begin their discharge just before the slack tide instead of during the slack tide, that they will have an enhanced exiting of the bay for the effluent. And so this permit requires them to discharge in that compliance with that to encourage the utmost that we, you know, can scientifically determine will be leaving the bay. It might cause them to have to use their force main type pumps to get it out quicker.
But you're talking management timing.
Management, yes. And timing.
Of something they would normally do. It's really a timing issue. It's not, mm-hmm. That's not an infrastructure issue.
No.
That's not any
right.
infrastructure
so it,
cost.
It's required immediately.
Can I make a comment, too, about the funding? That has been the topic of a lot of our conversations with Eureka. They are really concerned about obtaining funding for this, and we are really trying to work with them as much as we can. One of the issues they face is that while they're quite they're not an affluent community, as Lisa described, they are they don't satisfy the requirements to be a small community. So that does limit some of their funding options. So we are really trying to work with them very creatively to we've been throwing out some ideas there that we are looking into to look for creative funding sources, since they don't meet the you know, technical textbook of a small disadvantaged community.
Right. They're disadvantaged. They're just not small.
Other questions or comments here?
Yeah. Thanks.
That would be
Thank
great.
Thank you.
Does it seem, looking at the response to comments and the comments that you received, it was only from the city. Did it
yes.
seem odd that you didn't get anything from, say, like the Harbor Commission or aquaculture folks or Baykeeper? And did you get any, because having gone through Arcata, right. did mm-hmm. you get comments from them on that? So is it seem a little out of phase?
No, we didn't get comments from anyone else. And while we are very concerned about the potential impacts of not improving the treatment and the discharge, we have not received any concern or complaints or anything like that from the aquaculture industry. We are concerned about that, but the motivation to move this forward is actually coming from staff. We haven't had any interested parties or environmental groups or aquaculture or any other parties contacting us about this issue.
Or for that matter, lawsuits.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, those could drive it too.
Absolutely.
Any other comments or questions here? So as I see it, we have a decision point here. We have a consent item now that we have had clarification and discussion over. We have two consent items, the CDO and the permit itself. We can put it back on consent and go forward. It's the pleasure of this board. The other thing we could do is we could leave it off consent, leave it off today, and come back to this, hearing the discussion today. So I would ask this board, what is the pleasure of this board to do today? I understand your concerns. Any comments to those concerns, or what is the pleasure here?
Hearing Mr. Juicy's concerns and looking at this schedule, I would entertain the idea of evaluating or maybe seeing a feasibility of the ability to compress the schedule. Mm-hmm. Given all the milestones that you have here, is there a way that could be done? Could you go from 14, say, to 8, like Mr. Giusti had suggested? Is it even possible to do that with what you're setting up? Obviously, these are necessary steps that you have here, and you're working to an agreeable schedule. But hearing that concern, can we do it? Can we? What's the best you could do? Could you go, we could take it down to 13 and a half years, but there's no way we're going to get 8. Do you have a sense of that now?
If we were to be very aggressive, we think that we could probably shave off a couple of years. We would need to go back. Eureka would not be agreeing to that, so it would no longer be uncontested. Our concern, though, is that we were trying to work cooperatively with Eureka. We think we could compress it a couple of years, but Lisa and I have worked on a lot of different projects where we're looking at long-term upgrades. And generally, you know, there's kind of two scenarios. We could move forward like this. We think that we've provided a reasonable schedule that they should be able to comply with. The other approach could be is that the board could set a schedule that is, you know, lights a fire, as Mr. Juicy has discussed, acknowledging that most likely they will not be able to comply with it and will need to adjust timelines as we go. So there's kind of two different approaches that could happen.
But the thing is, too, is I would not do that today. We would not do that today without having
we couldn't make changes because it would no longer be
uncontested. We could not make that
that's right.
Correct.
So just to clarify one, I'm sorry. Do you want to go ahead?
Hold on 1 minute. Yeah.
So if we pass this order today, they start releasing differently. And you said that they'll be in compliance with the releases except for enhancement. Is that correct?
The majority of the time, they will be able to comply with the new effluent limits, yes.
They're already.
Okay, so as of signing this, the bay starts to improve because of new restrictions, and what this 14 years is just to get them to the enhancement?
It's to make sure that any changes they need to do, they may need to do a substantial plant, either upgrade or a new plant, or somehow they need to get through the wet weather to make sure there's no longer any type of bypass of secondary treatment, as well as the compliance with the enclosed bays or estuaries policy. There's two options for them to do that. Either they have to move their discharge to the ocean, which, you know, would be quite an undertaking, or they have to come up with a way to demonstrate to our satisfaction and the state board's satisfaction that they are supplying a enhancement to beneficial uses and Humboldt Bay that would not exist without the discharge.
Right. So they're improving the bay with this order, and the 14 years is to get to the enhancement.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I? Yes, please.
So, a couple options. Can it approve the NPDES permit today and not approve the CDO as one option? Could approve the CDO as is, recognizing that the feasibility study is due in 2020. That feasibility study needs to be done, and it's through that feasibility study that they could assess, you know, the schedule. And any NPDES permit is good for 5 years. So we know that we're going to be back here 5 years from now revisiting the NPDES permit. And so at that time, we'll have new information about reasonable potential and potentially needing to revise the CDO at that time anyway. Follow me? So we could adopt. So the other option is adopt the CDO as is today, knowing that we can accelerate the schedule 5 years from now when we revisit, and have the benefit of having completed the feasibility study, as well as all these other tasks between 2016 and 2020 that they have to that they will be required to achieve.
And Matt, you're saying that we could do that under the existing adoption that's in front of us now as a consent item, that we have a 5-year window coming and an opportunity, if needed, coming in 5 years in the renewal process to do other things because we have more information.
That's right.
So just to clarify or follow up on Matt's comments, today, we wouldn't recommend just adopting the NPDES permit without the CDO because the discharger isn't here, and they would have concerns about the adoption of the permit absent the CDO. So just to clarify that.
Understood.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Juicy.
Could I ask Mr. Moore a question, Steve? That's what you get for sitting in the front row.
Can you please step to the microphone and state your name?
Will you please present yourself before the dais?
State your name for the record.
All right.
You know, one of the things I don't like about adjectives or qualifiers like small, economically disadvantaged communities, Eureka's economically disadvantaged, pure and simple. you know, what can you bring to the table? What can the state bring to the table to help our local staff find those extra resources to support the city of Eureka in moving this through and on a timely manner and keeping the ball rolling and all those other cliches that I can throw out there?
Well, I stand by my earlier comment that our Division of Financial Assistance stands ready to make our system work for specific communities' circumstances. As an example of this issue of small disadvantaged versus disadvantaged, you know, the issues come up in several settings in the drinking water side of the house in the last couple months. And we've taken some steps in our guidelines to make modifications in those areas. I don't know about the latest on clean water, but I know that this is the direction that the board members that we're making, that we don't want to penalize communities that are disadvantaged just because of their population. In fact, if anything, for better water management, we want to consolidate agencies into larger agencies. And if we say, well, if you become larger, you can't get financial assistance, well, right there, there's a problem. So we're aware of that problem. I don't know where we are exactly in clean water financing, but I know we're going to get there if I have anything to do with it.
Good, thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Okay, so back to us for a minute here. So, again, I see we have two options. We have two items before us that are on consent calendar. We could move forward with that if that's the pleasure of this board. So we could also, Mr. Nate, is that we could also pull it off of consent, both of them off of consent, so that we do not have then a single adoption without a discharge or producer here today.
And that's what Nate was just going to jump in. And given the dialogue that has now happened, we have pulled it off of consent, and we have opened a hearing. And so we won't, if you vote today, it's just we're voting having opened the hearing. Just from a procedural standpoint.
Well.
You can still vote today.
Oh, we could. What is the pleasure of this board, I would ask, because to me there is, are we putting them in violation, or is there a problem with not doing this today to the discharger? I don't want to do something today that, I mean, they're not here. We're having a conversation around this without having a discharger's input to us. The way it is, to me, either we eat it like it is and it is what it is, both of them, and we do not change them. We've made some statements, and I think those statements are acknowledged. I appreciate those statements. I acknowledge staff and how this is right now. If we go any further or modify this thing, it's an open item, and we have to renotice this and come back in an open public dialogue. So that's what I'm asking. Do we either go with what we have now, or do we go a different direction, which would just come back another day?
The short answer is that those are the options, is to adopt as is presented today or to bring it back at a future board meeting with possible modifications.
Totally agree.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
I guess I'm going to go with the pleasure of the board on this, but a couple of key things that resonated with me, I mean, Mona and Lisa, you know, when you continue your discussions with the city of Eureka, I would appreciate if you would share at least my concerns about this thing is, you know, moving at a snail's pace. I'd like to at least see it move at a rabbit's pace. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, Matt, you know, let the record show that if this comes back to us in 5 years and there's stagnation on this calendar, that is not acceptable. Because, again, they're waiting until the 11th hour to pull that all-nighter to write that term paper, to use my scenario. And that's just not acceptable. I mean, there needs to be a sense of urgency through our discussions portrayed to the dischargers, mm-hmm. that, you know, we got to move on this because we know there's a problem. And, you know, 14 years, that's half a career. That's three turnovers on this board. That's how many people are going to come and go in the agency. You know, there needs to be some consistency in moving this forward. So that's another reason I brought this forward. But I thank you for the board to indulge my idiosyncrasies. But I'm willing to move with the pleasure of the board.
No, I appreciate your comments, sir. I really do. And what I also hear, by the way, is I hear that going to an inland bay discharge effluent requirement here, I do not hear that this plant is widely out of compliance, nor will it be put in a non-compliance condition to a great extent. There may be problems that are here, is what I think is, but I do not hear that putting them into an inland bay discharge effluent require losing the 30-to-1 dilution is going to put an infraction and an immediate problem in place. It sounds like they could meet that requirement.
That's our analysis.
From a water quality, straight up water quality effluent requirement.
We have looked at it and believe that they will be what I've termed substantially in compliance, but above 95% compliance with effluent limits across the board, and that's based on their historic data, which they were allowed 30 times higher compliance standards, but that's with the new standard. So if they're actually making an effort and trying, mm-hmm. I imagine they'll be able to be in compliance even greater percent of the time.
One of our goals with doing this, and we envisioned that one big motivation to them, is that we think they can substantively comply with the new effluent limits, but they will have to work at it. They will have to work on their tasks to reduce their infiltration and inflow. That's one of the first parts of the tasks. They will have to diligently follow these things, as well as really do their best to operate and maintain the facility properly, because the new effluent limits, while we think they will be able to comply with them the majority of the time, it does not give them, like if you want to term the dilution credits previously as kind of a safety factor, they will really have to work hard to make sure that they're in compliance or face the issue of MMPs.
I appreciate that.
Given what we've just heard and with Mr. Juicy's concerns and cautions and where we want to be in 5 years, I'd like to add on that. Looking at the schedule right now, we've got four steps that will have been completed or are scheduled to be completed, and then a fifth well in progress by this time next year. So I'd like to have an update in a year. If we do that, if we do move forward mm-hmm. with adoption, and hearing all of this, and with that, then, Mr. Chair, I'd give you a motion to adopt Order Number R1-2016-0001 and R1-2016-0012.
Second.
Okay. Can you please take the roll? Individually, I believe.
Aye.
Fantastic. Yes, aye.
Board Member Gant.
Aye.
Board Member Juicy.
Aye.
Second item, please, Patty.
Board Member Minton.
Aye.
Board Member Hale.
Aye.
Vice Chairman Noren.
Aye.
Board Member Gant.
Aye.
Board Member Juicy.
Aye.
All right. Let the record show that those were both adopted on consent. Thank you very much. Greg, thank you very much for your comments. You bet. We're going to do a 10-minute break. We'll be back here. Let's do it. And the thing is, the only thing is, the